Right now, in Virginia, there are these newly built cooling systems running continuously at like 100 decibels.
Yeah, just constantly roaring in the background.
Exactly. And they are drawing down local aquifers that are already in really short supply. I mean, in some surrounding areas, they are literally turning the tap water brown and leaving it with this heavy, chemical disinfectant smell.
Wow.
Yeah, that is the physical reality of our new digital age.
And you know that there's just the localized physical cost of what we usually imagine as this weightless, invisible cloud of artificial
Right,
intelligence.
the cloud sounds so clean.
Exactly. But when you pull back the curtain, the real world is taking a massive hit to keep that digital illusion running.
Well, welcome to today's deep dive. We are stepping entirely outside the mainstream media bubble for this one. We are looking at a massive stack of alternative intelligence and analysis, specifically the June 2026 monthly report by the Great Awakening Report.
It is a hefty document, for sure.
Oh, it really is. And our mission today is to extract the core patterns of what the report calls the threshold acceleration phase of 2026. We want to help you listening right now navigate this overwhelming amount of information without just, feeling completely overloaded.
Which is really easy to do with this kind of material.
It is. Now, as we unpack this, it's vital to remember our role here. We are looking at a document containing highly politically charged content and alternative theories that span both the left and right paradigms.
Yeah, it goes all over the map.
Right. So we are treating this purely as an exercise in pattern recognition. We are not endorsing, validating, or taking sides on any of these viewpoints. We are simply putting on their glasses to see the world through their specific lens and understand the ideas as they present them.
I think that's super important. It's about mapping out their perspective. And the baseline of that perspective is fundamentally redefining the chaos we are all feeling right now.
Usually, history feels like a row of dominoes. One falls, it knocks over the next, and you can point to the exact chain of events.
Right, a war starts, a market crashes, and everyone just points and says, "There, that's the problem."
Exactly. But this report argues we aren't looking at dominoes anymore. We are looking at a pressure cooker where the heat is being turned up on all sides simultaneously.
Yeah, the temperature gauge is maxed out.
And the dashboard is just lighting up with a dozen warnings at once.
The report calls this systemic compression. In their May 2026 Global Signal Review, they map out these simultaneous pressure points. You have the Strait of Hormuz choke point crisis destabilizing global energy markets.
Right.
You have persistent structural inflation eating away at the middle class. And of course, you have artificial intelligence rapidly moving from a neat technological innovation to a piece of critical, resource-hungry strategic infrastructure.
Which goes back to the water in Virginia.
Exactly. The report uses the word convergence to describe this.
Convergence. Okay, let's break that down. How does the report define it?
It means history is no longer moving through isolated events. Energy, financial, technological, and cultural pressures are all compressing at the exact same time.
So everything, everywhere, all at once.
Pretty much. It creates an environment of extreme density. But the crucial distinction this report makes is that this compression is not a collapse to fear. It is actually an evolutionary transition.
Interesting. So not the end of the world, just the end of an era.
Exactly. The old world of highly centralized institutions, globalization, and low-cost debt is fracturing. But emerging right alongside it are new models, decentralization, local resilience networks, alternative economies. They are existing simultaneously, and that friction is what we are feeling.
And that friction brings us to one of the most fascinating concepts in the lead articles. The report claims that right now there are actually two competing civil wars happening, and they aren't talking about red states versus blue states or traditional geographic battles.
No, they're outlining the external civil war versus the internal civil war.
Okay, let's unpack this. The external civil war is the noise we see in the media. It's the political polarization, the fractured information ecosystems, the absolute distrust in our institutions.
All the loud stuff.
Right, but the internal civil war is the unseen battle happening within the human nervous system. It is fear versus trust. It is reaction versus response.
Yeah, think of it like a computer operating system. We are all so hyper-focused on the external software glitching, the daily headlines, the outrage that we completely completely fail to realize our internal hardware, our actual human nervous system, is what's overheating and shutting down.
Oh, wow. And that internal overheating is manifesting in very tangible ways in our daily lives, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The report details how this is fracturing intimate relationships and families. You have partners under immense pressure where one is seeking rapid personal growth to adapt, and the other is desperately seeking stability by clinging to the old normal.
So they are essentially speaking two different languages.
Yeah. Or you have family members consuming entirely different, algorithmically isolated information ecosystems. It leads to a complete breakdown in shared reality. The external division we see on the news is just a macro reflection of this internal psychological polarization.
The report has this section interspersed throughout called The Path Back to Ourselves. And it argues that maintaining your emotional coherence, what they term a conscious frequency, is no longer just some spiritual luxury for, like, a weekend yoga retreat.
No, definitely not.
In this era, staying cognitively and physiologically regulated is a vital strategic advantage. If you are operating out of fear, your nervous system is compromised and you are incredibly easy to manipulate.
Calm is a superpower right now, because when you look at the hard intelligence data that the report tracks,
yeah.
If you don't have that internal anchor, the sheer weight of the external news will just pull you under.
Right. And if our internal hardware is overheating, the physical hardware powering our new digital world is doing the exact same thing. Let's look at the literal physical footprint of artificial intelligence. I mentioned the water and the noise in Virginia earlier. The report calls this the new oil war.
Yeah, the environmental reality of these AI data centers is just staggering. I mean, the justification for building them is always economic growth and technological supremacy.
Jobs, innovation, all that.
Right. But the report points out that a U.S. Chamber of Commerce study found each of these massive data centers provides only about 157 local jobs.
Wow, that is nothing for the scale of the buildings.
Exactly. Meanwhile, the physical extraction of resources to power this new digital brain is immense. They are draining local power grids and utilizing millions of gallons of water for cooling, leaving local municipalities to just deal with the ecological fallout.
And that technological race for dominance is bleeding directly into the geopolitical headlines. The report covers the recent U.S.-China tech summit in Beijing. They note that the actual power brokers in the room weren't just the politicians.
No, you had the CEOs of Tesla, NVIDIA, and Apple right there alongside President Xi Jinping.
The argument is that the true leaders of the 21st century are the ones controlling the data centers, the microchips, and the energy required to run them.
Which ties right back to the Strait of Hormuz crisis we mentioned earlier.
Right.
What's fascinating here is how the report analyzes that specific energy choke point. While Europe is experiencing worsening energy stagnation, I mean, their biggest manufacturing economies are essentially grinding to a halt due to high costs. China is quietly emerging as the reluctant winner of the Middle East crisis.
Wait, really? How does that work?
Well, because they negotiated access to heavily discounted energy while the West's supply chains are snapping under the pressure.
Ah, okay. So it results in a massive, almost invisible transfer of geopolitical leverage from the West to the East.
Exactly.
Now, if the global system is under this much strain, you'd expect to see the pressure valves blowing in completely unrelated, bizarre areas. And that's exactly the case the report makes by linking a series of seemingly disconnected national and international news stories.
Yeah, the headline curation is really interesting.
You have Tulsi Gabbard resigning as Director of National Intelligence. You have former U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi testifying in a congressional probe on the Epstein Network. The sudden indictment of former Cuban President Raul Castro. Even strange hyperlocal anomalies like a sudden spike in mysterious disappearances in Glacier National Park.
Take an individual, those are just strange headlines. But the report curates them to paint a picture of a broader system that is glitching on multiple levels.
Right.
The thread connecting a sudden intelligence resignation and hyperlocal anomalies isn't the event itself. It's the underlying instability. The old control mechanisms are losing their grip.
That idea of control mechanisms losing their grip brings us to the report's massive section on government corruption and financial fraud. And they do this by connecting current economic data to long-standing alternative theories.
Yeah, this part gets really deep.
One of the major focuses is the impending U.S. dollar currency collapse. They highlight the U.S. national debt hitting $39 trillion. But the thing that really caught my eye was what they call the ultimate end stage signal.
Ah, bond yields rising during Federal Reserve rate cuts.
Wait, let's break that down for a second, because that sounds like heavy financial jargon. Normally, when the Federal Reserve cuts interest rates, bond yields go down, right?
Right.
because it's a fundamental rule of finance. When money is cheaper to borrow, the return on bonds drops.
That is how this system is supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
But when bond yields rise during a rate cut, it means the fundamental mechanics of the market are broken.
Like completely inverted.
Yeah. It means investors are demanding higher returns just to take on the risk of holding U.S. debt. They fundamentally do not trust the currency's future. It indicates a structural turning point, a loss of global faith, not just a normal business cycle.
The report pairs this hard economic data with theories from financial analysts like Catherine Austin Fitz. She argues that what we are witnessing isn't an accidental financial crisis born of incompetence. She views it as a coordinated plundering of the West.
Right. The theory is that the inflation and debt crises are intentionally being used to force the public into accepting a programmable digital control grid.
Which means what exactly?
By that, she means central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs. If the current financial system collapses, the proposed solution would be a digital currency issued directly by the central bank.
Okay.
The report argues this would dictate exactly how, when, and where you are allowed to spend your money, tying your financial access directly to compliance. They also note proposals from figures like Kevin Warsh to completely overhaul the Federal Reserve System to facilitate this transition.
And this is where the intelligence reports venture into the historical roots of systemic control, examining how these structures were built over decades, if not centuries. The report covers theories surrounding the Khazarian mafia.
Yeah, for context, this theory suggests a historical, deeply entrenched infiltration of global financial systems by a specific elite group centuries ago.
Essentially setting the stage for modern central banking.
Exactly. And they connect that historical financial control to modern media manipulation, specifically discussing Operation Mockingbird.
Now, that was the CIA's Cold War era program to feed favorable narratives directly to mainstream journalists, right?
Yes. But the theory presented in the report is that Operation Mockingbird didn't end. It just got automated.
Oh.
The control mechanism shifted from briefing human reporters to programming the algorithms dictating our social media feeds. It creates a closed loop of psychological programming that we willingly carry around in our pockets.
It also delves into much darker territory regarding human trafficking and blackmail networks. It connects the newly released Epstein documents and celebrity complicity to broader psychological control methods.
It does. It mentions groups like the 764 Network.
And for those unfamiliar, this refers to an alleged deep web extortion and manipulation ring. And the report connects these types of networks to actual cult deprogramming tactics that are subtly being used on the broader public to maintain a state of constant trauma and compliance.
They even track this methodology of control to the medical establishment. There is a highly controversial historical claim in the report regarding the Rockefeller family and the origins of modern medicine.
Oh, yeah. The claim is that back in 1913, the Rockefeller family used their immense wealth to essentially buy up almost every herbal and holistic medical school in America.
Right. And the report argues that by 1925, they systematically closed them all down or forced them to pivot entirely to chemical-based treatments.
The mechanism here was establishing a total synthetic monopoly for the emerging pharmaceutical industry, ensuring that healthcare became a system of lifelong symptom management rather than actual healing.
If we look at the bigger picture the report is trying to paint, they are arguing that the financial, medical, and media systems are not broken at all.
No.
No, they're functioning exactly as they were designed to, as overlapping mechanisms of centralized control meant to extract wealth and energy from the population.
Okay, I have to pause here. Looking at this massive list of financial fraud, automated media manipulation, synthetic medical monopolies, and a $39 trillion debt. I mean, it is incredibly heavy.
It's exhausting just talking about it.
Truly. I am looking at all of this and struggling to see how anyone functions daily without just drowning in the despair of it all. How does the report justify dropping all this heavy intelligence on the reader without causing mass panic?
Well, that reaction is exactly why the report intentionally shifts gears in its final sections. It doesn't leave you in the intelligence data. It provides an antidote, a path forward that they anchor in what they call conscious sovereignty.
Right, the energy updates. Specifically, we need to look at the June 2026 Energy Report, Staying Coherent in a Rapidly Changing World in the Great Awakening Report blog.
It is a vital piece of this entire puzzle. The June Energy Report frames this specific month as a threshold. The analogy they use is profound. For a long time, the Earth itself has been holding the energetic pressure of this cosmic transition because humanity simply wasn't conscious enough to handle it.
Okay.
But the Earth can't hold it anymore. Humanity has to step up. We have to become conscious participants in our own evolution rather than just victims of circumstance.
Which brings us to the idea of quantum consciousness. We touched on the dashboard and the internal hardware earlier, but this goes far beyond just taking deep breaths to calm your nerves when reading the news.
Way beyond.
The report dives into the scientific theory of panpsychism.
Yes. And panpsychism is currently being heavily debated in mainstream scientific circles, including publications like Scientific American. It is the idea that consciousness is not just a byproduct of neurons firing in your brain.
Let's explain how that works, because it's fascinating. In the traditional view, your brain is like a computer, and consciousness is just the software running on it. When the computer dies, the software disappears.
Exactly. But panpsychism flips that entirely. It suggests that consciousness is a fundamental fabric of the universe itself, just like gravity or electromagnetism.
So it's everywhere.
Yeah. Your brain doesn't create consciousness. It acts more like a radio receiver tuning into a frequency that already exists everywhere.
It radically changes how we view human existence. And the report pairs this quantum physics approach with the work of pioneers in past life regression, specifically Dolores Cannon and her quantum healing hypnosis technique, as well as Dr. Brian Weiss.
Those regression tapes are wild to listen to.
No, they really are. We are talking about thousands of strangers from all over the world put under deep hypnosis, and they all describe the exact same processes of the soul, the space between lives, and carrying trauma across lifetimes. It completely shatters the linear view that you are just born, you live, and you die.
Right. It suggests that your soul carries memory. And the mechanism of healing here is fascinating. The emotional patterns, the irrational fears, the specific relationship dynamics you struggle with today might be rooted in unresolved lessons from a completely different lifetime.
So it's bleed through.
Exactly. The goal of Dolores Cannon's work isn't just to prove reincarnation. It is to heal the current nervous system. By accessing that expanded state of consciousness, people can bypass the fear-based programming of this current life and resolve the trauma at its root.
Okay, so how does someone practically take this massive multidimensional theory and use it today? I mean, how do you tune your energetic frequency right now in the middle of a $39 trillion debt crisis and AI draining the aquifers to step out of fear and into what the report calls conscious sovereignty?
This raises the ultimate question about what sovereignty actually is. The report is very clear on this. True sovereignty is not rebellion. It is not about fighting the old system with anger, because anger just feeds the polarization.
That's just adding more noise.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sovereignty is about remembering. It is about realizing that your energetic frequency, your daily thoughts, your reactions, your emotional baseline literally dictates the reality you experience. To step into conscious sovereignty means utilizing the heart's intelligence over pure panicked intellect. It means choosing to be an anchor of coherence.
So when the world around you is spinning, you don't spin with it. You become the calm center for your family and your community. You become the hardware upgrade that the system desperately needs.
You stop vibrating at the frequency of fear. And the report argues that fear is exactly the fuel those centralized control systems feed on to maintain their power.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right. When you reclaim your inner authority and refuse to be terrified, you literally starve the old matrix of its power.
Let's bring this journey to a close. We have traveled from the geopolitical choke points in the Middle East through the massive physical footprint of AI data centers turning water brown in Virginia. We've looked at the end stage signals of a $39 trillion debt crisis.
And the historical roots of automated media manipulation.
Yeah, and traveled all the way down into the profound quantum depths of the human nervous system and the soul.
It is a massive spectrum of information to process.
Yeah.
But the through line connecting all of it is clear. The external world is loud, the pressures are tightening, and the old systems are desperately trying to maintain control by keeping you in a state of reaction.
You, the person listening to this right now, you have complete agency over your internal frequency. While the media algorithms and the geopolitical power brokers are fighting an external civil war for your attention, calm is your ultimate choice. It is your most potent strategic advantage.
Absolutely. You don't have to absorb the chaos. You can observe it, understand the mechanisms behind it, and choose to remain a conscious, coherent anchor in the storm.
And I want to leave you with one final mind-bending concept from the report to mull over. We talked about panpsychism and the brain acting as a receiver for consciousness, but there is a controversial 2025 paper mentioned in these sources that takes it a massive step further.
Oh, this part is incredible.
It really is. It suggests the mathematical possibility that consciousness might actually generate space-time, not the other way around. Let that sink in.
It's huge.
If that is true, your internal state isn't just reacting to a collapsing world. Your frequency might literally be the building block of the new one. So if your dashboard is lighting up and the acceleration of 2026 is pushing you back in your seat, well, what kind of world are you building today?